Has begun.
Thank you. This evening on the call we have Mason Cole, Chris Chaplow, Steve Holston, from staff we've got Julie Headland and Ken Bauer and Gisela Gruber-White, myself. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Gis. All right, so we've got a thin roster on the call today, but let's go ahead and just give each other an update on where we are in our work. We set today as our first initial deadline for drafting a set of recommendations, but I'd like to know if I know there's been some late activity, things like phone calls with the translation team and that kind of thing. So let's just start with an update on where we are in our work. So Ken, how about you guys lead off, if you would?
Drum roll, please.
Yep.
We have completed the business requirements document for phase one of the GNSO website replacement project, and it has just recently been distributed to the group. And we got busy in the last 7 to 10 days or so, and we're able to get. I think I'm actually quite proud of what we've done, and it's I think at the correct level for business requirements. And I'm not sure, Mason, if you want to do any looking through it or.
Well, I'm just now opening the document. Since I think everybody on the call has it, if you have it in front of you, I don't think you need to go page by page, but if you want to hit the highlights in here, I think that'd be fine.
Sure. Okay, so the first thing to notice is that this is actually an ICANN template for business requirements, and it was provided to me, I guess a week or so ago, by Ritza, who I'm not sure, she may be the drafter of it, but in any event, you can see just looking at the table of contents that it's been pre-organized to cover all of the key major issues that you want to put together in a business requirements document, starting with purpose and project overview and so forth. The real nuts and bolts, or if you will, of the requirements starts in section two, and we wrote a background which I kind of pulled from some early stuff that we had written on this subject, and then it gets right into section 2.1 into the website requirements, starting off with a summary, and then we've broken this section down. One point to raise, which is in the project overview, is I think everybody's clear on this, but if not, let me just make sure. We broke this project into sort of two major phases, and phase one is the graphical interface, the design of the site, information architecture, which has to do with the taxonomy and how information is structured on the site. What kind of how do people find things? Navigation, basic collaboration, and content sharing. How documents are stored and shared across not only this site but all the other ICANN sites. And finally, data migration. So those rake up the major elements of phase one. In phase two, we sort of put off document management functionality and advanced collaboration features. And I think we talked about this on the larger team and certainly on the smaller team, but there are so many complexities associated with document management technically that it was too much to bite off all at once. So if we can get the website design and get something really well structured that's got a good taxonomy and good navigation and internal search capability, uses an internal enables sharing of content across organizations in a more efficient and effective way. All those things would really be huge improvements, right? And then we would tackle the advanced collaboration things down the road along with document management. Any comments there?
I'm scrolling through it. I'm very impressed with
so that. So what we did was we broke the business requirements into four sections. The first one is 2.1.1, usability, navigation, and search. They sort of are all kind of related, and we identified six major business requirements. And just to give you a flavor for how these are written, maybe we just read the first one out loud, just to get the sense of what's the level at, right? So the first one reads, due to the public nonprofit nature of the GNSS work and the fact that its community members utilize many different computing platforms, the website must support multiple browsers as well as multiple operating systems. In addition, the website should not require the downloading or installing of any applets on visitor/client computers. So all of these requirements are written at that sort of level. They're written from the standpoint of what is the business problem, what is the business pain point, and what is the business need. You're not going to see anything in here that goes down to the website should be blue in color. It should feature icons instead of have flash on the front page. Nothing like that, right? It's all just general statements of need. Grouped into these various categories. The second one is 2.1.2 is all about content management. And so just to give an idea, I'll read the first one, right? So there are many varied and complex activities in motion at all times within the GNSO. To make the website dynamic and to ensure that its content remains up to date with the rapid pace of change, the website should provide tools that enable authorized content managers to create new pages, paren, and update current ones by using predefined themes, templates, style sheets that are consistent with the overall site design. And so the rest of the content management issues are sort of written similarly and deal with different elements of content. The third major classification is collaboration. And of course, earlier I said collaboration, at least advanced collaboration, was a phase two project. So we sort of put a note at the front of it that said, while collaboration was originally targeted for phase two, there is a minimum set of capabilities that the GNSO needs desperately. And given its fundamental role of bottom-up consensus policy formulation, it would be completely unrealistic not to highlight the current pain points and resultant requirements in this document, even if all of them cannot be satisfied until a subsequent phase of the project. And so what we did there was we sort of talked about things like calendaring, right? It's really, really important for the GNSO. You know, Gisela, if she's still on the call, she knows this all too well, as so does her colleague, Glenn. We have to be able to take all these meetings, which, and there's just billions of them, and they all have to be put into slots to make sure that people aren't overbooked and all that kind of stuff, right? So this first requirement gets all into that and talks about what kind of information does the GNSO need to have in its calendar, what functionality does it need to have, and how would it generally work. And it would be really cool if people could update their own personal calendars from stuff that's on the master site, without having to do a lot of manual duplication work, which today people have to do. So that's the one of the collaboration features, and there are six requirements that we've written in that grouping. And then in document management, we did put one in, thanks to Chris's comments and suggestions. One of the things that we found even as a sub-team is in just sharing versions, right? We started with emailing things around to each other and realized that that gets very tiring and very difficult to coordinate versions. So if I put a draft out and then Chris changes it and then Steve changes it, we're now changing the original source but in two different ways. Then you've got to take the changes and try to merge them all back in. And Chris actually put up a little FTP site that from his company, and we stored our originals on the FTP site, and then we downloaded them and uploaded. So that way we were able to keep track better of who's got the pen, who's working on what version, and we didn't trip over each other. And as a result, we ended up with no merge problems. And so that's what this requirement gets at. It says, we recognize that document management per se is not a phase one issue, but maybe there's something that could be done in the short term, like providing FTP-type space at ICANN that would allow people to store documents and versions instead of this sort of emailing things around all the time.
I think, Ken, we proved it was simple yet effective, wasn't it? That combined with your revision system.
That's right,
In a sort of three system, and I think, simple but effective, and without reinventing the wheel or without making major overhauls, which we're never going
to
do.
Yeah, so it may turn out that even in phase one, we might be able to get some performance enhancements around document management without having to go to the nth degree and inculcating some third-party software package that has all the bells and whistles. It may just be that simple naming conventions and having a third place, an external place to put things by itself will give us some benefits. Then the once we get past, all right, so those are the four classifications of the business requirements relative to the website. All the rest of the sections in here deal with ancillary, I don't want to say ancillary, other kinds of requirements. So around administration, we wrote three requirements there. Reporting, we put one in there that has to do with making sure that the website, that there are statistics calculated and saved around unique visits and page views, length of time people stay on the site, where they come from, what browsers they're using, and all that kind of material. So we wrote a requirement around that. We didn't suggest that there was anything unique or special about the GNSO in terms of security and several others down here. You can just sort of scroll through system integration. We wrote a few, four of them, in data migration. That turns out to be a fairly big item, data migration, right? Because we've got to figure out how to get all the documents from the existing site into the new site in such a way that links are preserved, and you've got to get them into the new taxonomy. And that is a we haven't figured out how to do it yet, but it's almost surely going to require some outside help, you know, even if it's mostly just labor help to get it done. And then testing, training, documentation, very, very little after that, because most of these issues, disaster recovery, system performance, licensing, these are all like ICANN level issues. And while they'll end up being in here, they're not anything that our team could write. So that's, unless you guys have anything else to add, I think that's a pretty good summary.
You guys, this is outstanding. This is really outstanding. I'm flipping through it, Ken, while you were talking, and I'm very impressed.
Well, we appreciate to hear that, don't we, guys?
Yeah, thank you.
We do, and I want to make sure that the credit is placed where it's mostly due, which is that Ken really put a lot of time and effort into this in particular. And so thanks to Ken for that. And I think also Ken was good about keeping us disciplined as to what is a business requirement versus a technical implementation item, because it's very hard not to go stampeding ahead to the technical implementation pieces. And even today, in wanting to state we need these forms of alerts, know what you need is, in a business requirement sense, is that we should have up-to-date information. And the manner in which you get that up-to-date information can be in any number of different technical implementation methods. So I certainly appreciate the work and discipline that Ken helped with.
Well, I appreciate that, but we certainly could not have done it without everybody's input, and also the input of the ICANN staff, I want to say, because it took me a while to get grounded in this. I had to go to remedial training with Rita myself, and fortunately we were able to do that in Marina Del Rey when I was there for training. And so, yeah, it's been an interesting voyage, and I think we really have. I hope the feedback from the ICANN staff is we did hit the right mark here. I just hope so.
Yeah, if I can add, I think the two difficulties really. One was getting started, and like, you know, thank Ken for that and his help with the ICANN staff, because I think once we got started, and Ken got that first draft together, we were able to roll a little bit. The other one was hitting that level right between the business requirements and the technical, and at some points it was a bit of a tug of war. And, you know, it is quite difficult, especially for myself, from perhaps being from a slightly more technical point of view, and was more pulling it down, and Ken was pulling it back up the other way. And we had to get the level right. You get it too high, and it just becomes a document, a checking exercise. And a document isn't really any use to anybody. You know, you get it too low, and then it's just too technical. So hopefully we've got the balance right.
Well, I'm going to go through and read it in detail, but I'm sure that you did get it right. I go back to you know, where we started all this, which is let's avoid giving the board and the GNSO a bunch of sort of, you know, a list of tactics so much. You know, let's consider this the communication improvement holistically. And I think, I mean, I think you guys really struck the right tone in the document. I mean, it's got the appropriate level of recommendations at the tactical level, but it also reads to me like a strategic document. You know, here is the purpose of what we're trying to do, which is increase participation at the GNSO level and make sure that anybody who needs the ability to communicate with the GNSO or get information about it can do so. I just it looks right up our alley.
Good. Glad you feel that way.
Yeah.
Great. What next, Mason? Does this document fit inside your master document or?
Yeah, actually, I was gonna broach that very subject. I mean, I'd kind of like the team's input on this. I mean, I'm not sure how we're gonna format it. I do think that what we should do, if possible, is consolidate everything into one document. And you know, whether this is an appendix or what have you, then you know that's fine. But I'd prefer not to have a bunch of separate documents running around, you know, with different sets of recommendations. The more that we can blend it together, I think, the better. But you know, what's your input?
For me, whatever you want to do from the overall, I'm happy.
Okay.
I think an appendix would work. You know, maybe we could create a sort of a synopsis summary that you can put into and then refer to the appendix for the details or something like that. I don't know if that would work.
Sure.
I like that idea. Even if you give the introduction, purpose, and project overview and the essentially table of contents for the rest of it, and then look back to the appendix for the higher detail, I think that would fit in nicely with what Mason's current document structure is, the executive summary and context and task, et cetera. I think that would be a good way of implementing.
Okay. Well, we'll follow that plan then. Before we leave this topic, anything else we want to discuss on the business requirements? Okay.
Yep.
Easy enough. So I admit that I have missed my own deadline. I have a draft, but it's not worthy of sharing at this point. So I am going to have to finish that up and forward it out to you guys shortly. So I apologize for missing my own deadline after I harangued everyone about the very deadline itself. So
I wouldn't call it haranguing.
Yeah, well, I don't. I just,
you seem to be very even tempered about the whole thing. I think we put the deadline on ourselves pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I do apologize.
That's okay.
Is there anything else that we're ready to discuss on this call?
Mason, this is Julie. I could report a little on the call that we had yesterday with
on the translation team.
Right, right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sure, and I'll send around. I took some minutes from the call, which I had sent to Zbinek, Christina, and Helen, and they were okay with it. I copied you on those, Mason, but I'll send those around to the rest of the team after this call as well.
All right.
We did have a very useful call with Christina Rodriguez yesterday, who is in charge of the ICANN translation program. And she basically talks through the process that ICANN uses to translate documents, the languages into which they translate and why. The providers that they use, some are independent, some are larger businesses, and why they use some and not others. And it really got into you know, some fairly specific details on what ICANN is doing, which Zbinek and Helen found very helpful, and they asked a number of questions about how to ensure consistency of translations, how to make translations more accessible in the intervening period in which while one is waiting for all of the translations to be completed, say, for instance, by translating a brief summary and making that available, whether or not there are plans to have community members participate in translating documents, and how to make the, which is particularly pertains to the work of this team, how to make it easier for non-English speakers to find translated documents on the ICANN website. And Christina had said that actually they're looking at having some specific translated web pages that would be easily accessible in other languages and that would also have links to translated documents. So sort of like little mini, not fully translated versions of existing pages, but mini translated pages that people could get to get essential information that has already been. So that's something that's in the works. And, you know, probably will be tied in some way or form to the work of this team with respect to improving the websites in general. And I'm sure she would be very happy to meet with, Ken and Steve and Chris on, you know, in ways that that might tie into your work as well. She was very accessible.
Okay, good deal.
Great.
Thanks for that, Julie.
Sure.
All right. Anything else for this call, folks? Let me take a look at that.
I guess, Mason, what's the next step?
Yeah,
we were shooting for this date of May 27th. Is there a time to deliver the entire package over to somebody, and who is that and when?
Well, I understand our, Ken and Julie, you guys can verify for me, but I understand our ultimate deadline to be in October. Is that right, for our recommendations?
Well, I don't know that actually, yeah, I mean, I think that really we're driven by the timeline that you as a team, you know, to a certain extent have come up with. I think the original discussion of the work team plan we had put out over, you know, as being 6 months from, you know, the start of the work of the team, which was
right
in March. So I'd say that's true. And, you know, with the other understanding that some things, I think we said some things might take longer and some might be shorter.
Right.
This is Ken, though. Well, let me think. I'm just wondering, is there any advantage or value in releasing these business requirements? Well, I have released them to the ICANN technical staff.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. No, that's fine.
Yeah. We'll get feedback from them. Right? Make sure,
sure
that everything is lining up on that side. you know, if the OSC and or other people in our chain of command had... If we wouldn't want to wait till October, I guess is what I'm saying, before other people in our GNSO chain of command had a chance to see what we've done,
right?
Otherwise, well, we really can't. I don't know if we'll be able to move any further forward.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I also agree with sending the requirements to the technical team for their feedback. I mean, ultimately, they're going to, if these recommendations are adopted, they'll be responsible for putting them into place. They, you know, we need to know whether or not they're actually going to work. So. How about this as a way forward? We still need to hear from Zbinek and Helen. So our next call is scheduled for June 10th. Ken can collect feedback from the technical team on his requirements. I can finish my draft. We can get Zbinek and Helen's input on the translation. And at that point, you know, it might make... I wonder what... with whom would we share it on the broader OSC for their input as well? Ken, what do you think about that?
Chuck is our chair, right?
Correct.
Yeah, this is Julie. I should mention here, I think, because Rob and I were talking about this morning, that the OSC, I know, is you know, hoping for regular updates from the work teams.
Yeah, which, by the way, I am providing to Chuck.
Right, exactly. But also, maybe we want to think about, as a team, whether or not there is something that we want to make public, even if it's just preliminary work, at Sydney, to show what the team has been doing and, you know, how we are, you know, advancing in various areas, even if we have not, you know, finalized anything. And I don't mean to suggest that we would send out business requirements or something that detailed, but perhaps even a 5-minute overview, you know, to say, hey, this is what we've been doing, you know, along the lines of what, Mason, you might be giving to the OSC, for instance, at
Might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
something to think about. I mean, Rob and I were just kind of throwing this around, but there's a lot of interest in the community as to what these teams are doing, and I think not a lot of understanding of what we're doing because most people aren't really plugged into the wikis and, you know, checking them constantly. So there might be a way to put, you know, a good, you know, get some good PR out there, so to speak, on, you know, the fact that we are getting things done and we are making progress.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Anybody object to that plan? Because I kind of like that plan.
No, I think
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Ken.
Do we have a requirement to complete all subtasks and sort of send everything in as one in one fell swoop, or can we say, all right, so one of our tasks was to do X, we've done X, and we want to send that in to the OSC to begin the process of moving that forward, or...
Yeah.
How long will it take, Mason, for you to get your piece, and how long do you think it'll take for the translation team?
Julie, what do you say on the translation side?
I would say that it's going to take them a bit longer. I mean, I really see that yesterday's call was a first step in the process for them, and it was unfortunately a long time to set up just with everybody's schedules. So they may need a little bit more time, but to Ken's question, to my knowledge, and I've spent a fair amount of time in the charter, there's no requirement that we have to submit everything, you know, to the OSC as one broad task. I mean, I think that we could, you know, submit what we've completed as far as these subtasks are concerned, and those things that are still in process, you know, are still in process.
Yeah, I think that's true. I know of no requirement that would make us put together a comprehensive document if we. You know, if we were inclined not to do that.
Yeah, I think if the OSC had a chance to read these business requirements and said, we agree or disagree, right, but let's take either one. If they thought, these are a fair and complete set of requirements that we think that if they were, if we built something that satisfied them, you know, we would all be pretty happy with that. Or maybe you've missed something, or that getting that feedback sooner than later, I think, would be enormously helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mason,
you might want to just run that by Chuck and see. I just don't know, you know, kind of how much information they want, you know, beyond, you know, the updates you've been providing, you know, whether they want that much detail or whether they want just a, you know, this is what we got, these business requirements done, and that was something we got done, you know.
Yeah, he regularly comes to me and just asks for an update, and no more than as he requested, just a list of bullets on where we are. That's it.
And I had the same experience with him because Olga Cavalli from one of my other teams had sent a fairly comprehensive report.
Right. Yeah, I saw that one.
Came back, yeah, and said.
He asked me. He said, you know, make it shorter than that. So.
Right. Right.
I am always amazed at how Chuck reads dozens of 100-page documents and actually reads them and comments on them. So I think if we put it in his hands, he will voice an opinion about it. And it seems to me that if we can do it earlier rather than later, then there's plenty of opportunity for constructive feedback and the ability to change the level of abstraction or whatever it is. And if they say that's great, then it could also give us a chance to overachieve in actually getting started on technical implementation, either documents or actual, you know, hands being lifted to do the work. So I don't see a downside in submitting it sooner rather than later.
Okay. I have no problem with that. All right, I will do the follow-up work with Chuck then, and then as we all get, you know, our parts done, then we can, you know, at some point merge it into a final document if that makes sense. Otherwise, we can let the individual parts stand on their own, you know, whatever the team thinks is probably best at that point. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else we need to cover today?
I've just got a question. Are any of the ICANN web staff going to be at Sydney? Does anybody know?
Oh, yes. Well, not all of them. At least in Mexico City and Cairo, Mark Salvaterra is there. Typically, Mary, who is his colleague that does a lot of the web development, she stays behind. I don't know whether that'll be the same pattern this time around, but Mark has always been there.
Good. Okay. It'd be nice to meet him.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just add one more piece of Mason?
Sure.
Just very briefly, a couple of the other teams have been doing this, but I noticed that, Steve, now that you've said that you won't be able to be in Sydney, I know that Glenn is helping to try to coordinate meeting times in Sydney that would accommodate people who are not on Australian time, as that's quite an issue. I don't know if, Mason, you want to just check with the team to see who will be there and who will not, and then I know with some of my other teams, Glenn is seeking to find an appropriate time for everyone to be able to meet.
All right, I will. I'll email the team and ask about that. And I know Helen's planning on being there. I don't know about Zbignik.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Sorry, I joined late, but yes, I'm definitely going to be in Sydney. Oh. If that's what you.
Hi, Helen.
And what is the time difference between, let's say, East Coast time and Sydney time at this time of year?
It's next Thursday there now.
3 hours.
How many hours?
It's October 23rd down there.
Yes, it is. 14 hours. In a day, basically.
Okay. Oh, so it's just the opposite side of the clock then.
Yeah, it's the dateline, is there?
Okay.
And it's, you know, so.
All right, I will do that.
Great.
All right. All right, Helen. Sorry, we were just wrapping up.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I rushed back as fast as I could. But
no problem. In fact,
traffic is not what I expected it to be, and then my other meeting went on way too long.
Oh, okay. Well, Julie did a very good job of giving us an overview of the call you had with the translation team, so it sounds like things are well underway there.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Thank you, Julie.
So, Helen, is there anything else you needed to add today? Or?
Not really. I had a few notes for the report, but it's not really shaped up yet. I need to talk to Zbignik anyway to try and get it hashed into what we want.
Okay.
Did Christina say from the translation team whether she was going to be in Sydney or not? And then
No, you know, I didn't ask her. We can certainly find out. I can send her a note.
Yeah, I was just interested in the people that are in the periphery of what we're doing, whether I'm likely to bump into them in the corridors and whatnot.
That's a good question. I'll be happy to, Chris, I'll be happy to send her a note.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Julie.
Very good.
All right, folks, if there's nothing else, we'll call it a day and speak again in 2 weeks, if not sooner.
Hey, Chris and Ken, is there a purpose served by having our normal off-week Wednesday meeting this next week? I'm inclined to let that one pass.
Good question. I wonder if between now and I wonder if we could leave it tentatively scheduled and then call it on or off at the last minute. Can you leave it on your reason? Although the reason I'm thinking about, what if we get some feedback, like from the IT staff in the intervening week, and could actually work on it. We could end up with V1.1 out of it or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
But if we don't hear anything, if it's quiet, as I would anticipate, there's not much that happens, on a weekly basis. So if we don't hear anything, we can just then immediately say we don't need the call and don't get on.
Sure. Julie, I think you're probably better off keeping it for now, because it's always harder to set these things up because these time slots get taken if you're not holding them. So I'd say, I agree, I say retain it, and you can always drop it at the last minute if you need to.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
And we can make a no-go call on, Monday night or something like that, or Tuesday morning, whatever, so that there's, at least enough time to recapture the hour back. In fact, if I don't hear anything by Friday, who knows? We'll give it till Monday anyway.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Good. Are we going to set up a meeting in Sydney?
We are setting up a meeting in Sydney, and I'm going to email the team and find out who's attending and what the better day would be. I was also waiting to hear from Glenn. she asked about our preference for a day to meet down there in person, and I told her Sunday because I didn't really know anybody's travel plans. That got us as close to the start date of ICANN, to regular ICANN meeting as possible. And I'm waiting to hear back from her because she's trying to coordinate all of the GNSO work for those 2 days.
There's a tentative timetable on the website now, isn't there, for Sydney?
I believe there is, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't think it shows the breakout for all the GNSO work. I think it's just...
Sorry, just to help you on that one, we'll probably be working by the end of the week on that as well, because I'm working with her on the agenda.
Okay, great.
I've made note of that, and she's been in Brussels on the Minto training for 3 days, but hopefully by Friday night we should have something that we can send out.
Oh, that'd be great.
Latest, first couple of days of next week.
All right, good. Thanks very much. That's helpful.
No problem.
Very good.
So apparently we'll know more by the end of the week or so. All right, good. Okay, anything else today?
No.
All right, folks. Thanks very much for the time, and talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Great.
Okay, thanks, Charles.
Thanks,
all right, bye-bye.
Thanks, folks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.